Welcome to All Have Another Podcast with Lindsay Hine. I'm Lindsay. Thank you so much for being here today. You're listening to episode 43, and it's a really fun episode. I'm talking to Hannah and Allie of Runner's World. Hannah is the social media editor over at Runner's World, and Allie is an associate editor. These are the ladies behind the super secret mystery meeting. If you guys don't know about that, go ahead and go over to YouTube and search their YouTube channel. They're really funny. In this episode, we talk about what it's like to work for Runner's World, what they're training for. We also go really deep. We talk about Allie's love for Lil Wayne and my love for Tupac. We also talk about how Hannah and I are both really into The Bachelor, which is coming on soon. Woohoo! I know you guys are just as excited as I am about that. This is a lighthearted, fun conversation, so I hope you feel like you are just listening in on it. And you guys, this is really creepy. As I was recording this intro, I had to try 3 different times. The man's voice kept coming into my headphones, and I couldn't figure out what it was. It was freaking me out. And then my husband went outside, and there's some guy on a ham radio in his car, like, communicating with someone, and it was somehow getting through to my headphones on this computer. And I was freaking out, like, somebody could see me on the video. It was weird. Anyway, that's my crazy story today. Pretty crazy, right? So we are going into Christmas weekend. I hope you guys all are gonna have a lot of fun with your family and friends. We are traveling to my husband's side of the family tomorrow, and then we're gonna be going to my side of the family on Christmas Day. I'm super excited though, because the boys are gonna wake up in our house on Christmas morning, and hopefully that can remain a tradition and we can always just be home on Christmas morning for at least a few hours. And another funny thing about Christmas in our family is that I had only bought one gift for our boys as of yesterday, and my husband, without telling me, took the second half of the day off work because he said he didn't trust me to buy the rest of the gifts. So whatever, that's fine. He can take care of it. I think he probably did a better job than me anyway, right? It's so funny because I'm totally the stay-at-home mom here, but there are so many different pieces of that puzzle that would go in my job description that my husband does. For instance, he cooks dinner 90% of the time. I am totally all for that. That is, like, great for me. Hey, I want to give a shout out to Kendra Gilbertson. Hey, Kendra. Kendra is friends with my friend Emily, and I want to tell you, this is the power of social media. Kendra found this podcast because she saw a picture of Emily and I together and clicked on my profile and then started following me, and now she follows the podcast. Isn't that amazing? It just proves that sharing the show on social media, probably, I would say, the most influential way and the biggest way that the word gets spread about the show. So I also want to say thank you to everybody who has been sharing the show on Instagram, on Twitter, wherever you share it. Most recently, TIUJ2 shared the episode. I'm not sure what your real name is, but I really appreciate you sharing that episode on your Instagram feed. And if I have any new listeners who found it through her, hello, welcome, and I'm so glad you're here. Before we get started talking with Allie and Hannah, I want to let you guys know I did start a Patreon page. What Patreon does is it gives regular listeners an opportunity to support the podcast. So if you guys go to patreon.com, patreon.com, and just search I'll Have Another with Lindsay Hine podcast, you can check it out, see what levels are offered to support, and then the incentives that come along with it. And one of the really awesome incentives, in my opinion, is that I'm going to be doing some bonus episodes. And the bonus episodes are going to be for Patreon pledgers only. You can pledge as little as $2 a month. I notice most people are doing $5 a month, whatever works for you. And if it doesn't work for you and it's not your thing, totally cool too. Okay, by the way, you guys, I know you can probably hear my kids in the background. They are downstairs with my husband. I think one of them is crying and one of them is jumping around doing Lord knows what. So I would apologize for that, but I'm not going to, because that's what's going on in my house right now. And you won't hear them during the podcast episode. You won't hear them while we're actually recording. So it's just life with 3 kids, man. That's just what we're dealing with here. I want to give a big shout out to Generation UCAN for sponsoring this episode of I'll Have Another. Generation UCAN is the fuel that you need for your next long run or hard workout. It is powered by superstarch, and it will prevent you from having sugar spikes, sugar bonks, any of that bad stuff. I promise it'll make you feel great on your next workout. You guys can go to generationucan.com/another. Use promo code ANOTHER, all caps, to get 15% off your next purchase. Woohoo! Thank you, Generation UCAN, for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. All right, you guys, I'm not going to keep you waiting any longer. Enjoy my conversation with Hannah and Allie, and I hope you laugh a lot. So we're talking with Hannah and Allie of the Runner's World Super Secret Meeting.
Woo!
Yeah, super excited to talk to you guys. So tell me a little bit about yourselves. So Hannah, if you want to go first.
I'm originally from Boston. I moved to Pennsylvania, which is where Runner's World is located. I moved here for the job. First came to Runner's World as a digital editor and then moved up into the social media editor position. So I do all of our social media. So anyone follows Runner's World, that is me.
Woo!
Good to know. I'll make note if you ever ignore any of my tweets.
Oh my gosh. You can angrily tweet at her personal.
I will.
Yeah. And I'm Allie. I am... Oh, man, where am I originally from? I moved all over as a kid, so my family's all from New Jersey, then I moved to Connecticut, then Illinois, then Maine, then upstate New York, then North Carolina, then back to upstate New York, and now I'm in Pennsylvania. I moved here for the job, and I love PA, represent PA all day, so yay.
What do you do? What's your exact job at Runner's World?
That's a good question. I'm an associate editor, and so I wear a lot of different hats, and I mostly work on the print magazine, which is like the feature section and the human race section, and I edit the I'm a Runner section. So everybody that reads the celebrities, that's me.
Oh, that's my favorite one. I mean, I feel like that's like everybody's favorite section.
Everybody's favorite. It's my favorite section.
Yeah, I remember I used to like always just like skip to the back and read that first, and then like work my way back to the front of the magazine.
That makes me very happy.
Who's like, I mean, I know you can't pick a favorite because you don't want to offend anybody that you've interviewed, but who's some of your favorite people that you've gotten to do on that?
Oh, so I don't do the interviews. I have the writers do the interviews, but like my big get was Kevin Hart. I was really excited about him. And then most recently though, the best interview is our Jan Fab issue, John Glazer, who's Councilman Jam on Parks and Rec. And I'm obsessed.
Why don't I know who that is?
Oh my gosh, he's the guy. He has curly hair. And okay, you'll have to see him. But okay. I mean, he's kind of like an obscure comedian that not everybody knows who he is. Yeah. But because of that, I don't know. He was really funny. Like, he literally said, you know, that whole shorts and tights controversy with running? Like, I have a very strong opinion on that. Cover your dick. I don't want to see it. And I was like, yes, so you speak my language. But I edited that for the magazine because we have some people that wouldn't appreciate that.
That might not go over well with some people.
Right.
What's your opinion on the shorts and tights?
Oh, if I want to look tight, or if I want, I want to look tough, I wear shorts over tights, and then otherwise I just wear tights.
Yeah, I just wear tights, and I also think that guys should just wear tights. It looks so weird, I think.
Tights, like I have these, like, I have running tights on right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
You're talking tights. With, like, running shorts over the tights, like, when it's cold out.
Yes. But I feel like it works best if they're not running shorts, if they're actually, like, basketball shorts. I feel like then you look really cool.
I think you look like a nerd. Such a nerd.
Well, I feel like people, maybe it's a self-conscious thing, too. And people, when they're just starting out running, they do that. Like, I can't imagine being like, I'm going to put a pair of shorts on over these tights right now before my run.
I think it's a bigger deal for guys, too. I took the pro shorts.
Dave is popping up over there.
That's totally fine. That's he.
All right, cool.
So here's my question, though, for man behind the, called? Wall. The cube. Man behind the cube.
Yeah.
Here's my question. Is it a self-conscious thing? Is it like, ooh, everything's a little too tight around there?
So what I think, I mean, I don't want
to. He's going to get explicit.
So here's my thing. Like, I have tights, and I put them on, and I go out for a run, or I go into, you know, like, our living room, I'm going out for a run, and my wife looks at me, and she says, please put some shorts on.
Really?
Because I can see how, like, I think if you're in motion, it's fine.
Yeah.
But there's, like, you see a lot.
It's like the Peter Pan situation.
Yeah, you see a lot. So I don't know, like, I would feel weird, because sometimes I'll stop in one of our local, like, cafes to get a coffee. I wouldn't do that if I didn't have, everything's kind of.
I know, Crude often is like, Crude is my husband, and I'm always like, oh, yeah, we're going running, and he doesn't like shorts over tights, and so, like, but then we'll, like, stop and do errands afterwards, and I'll be like, I can see everything.
So that's it. So that's what I think it is. It's not self-conscious. Like, I don't care, but I'm afraid that other people will care.
Yes, and we do.
See, my husband's the same way. He just, like, He doesn't care. He just wears the tights, and I'm like, well, everybody can see the outline of everything that's going on right there.
Yeah, see, Adam, my boyfriend, will either just wear the tights and be like, whatever, or he has, like, track pants that he'll change into or put on over them if we're, like, going places after, so then it's not
Yeah. That's actually really good. Yeah. Stylish. We should take notes from Adam.
Yes.
What's your husband's name, Allie?
It's Croot, C-R-O-O-T. Well, that's his last name, but his real name is Brian.
Yeah. Okay, because I was like, man, that's an interesting name. So everybody calls him by his last name.
Yeah.
Like, do you ever call him Brian?
No, only when, like, the cats. If the cats are talking to him from my voice, they call him Brian sometimes. And they're mad at their dad. Yeah.
The cats?
Yeah. Oh, I have Kiki and Gus. Those are my two cats.
Aww.
They're adorable.
Yeah, they're really fat. They're so cute.
They're on a diet.
You know, so I talk about baby names a lot because I'm obsessed with baby names, probably because I have three kids. Yeah. But I really like the name Gus for a kid.
So my cousin just named her baby Gus, and so we have Cat Gus and Baby Gus, and my whole family was super like, oh my God, Gus sounds like such a tough guy, but this kid is like, he's just a giant baby, and so it's perfect. And I'm like, baby Gus! And it's like I think it's a great name.
I think it's cute.
Yeah, but my cat's is short for asparagus. Like, that's a cool name.
I'm so weird about baby names, though, that that was like one of my favorite names for my most recent child that I birthed. And I have an internet friend. Hi, Jessica. And she has a kid named Gus. And I was like, well, I can't name my kid Gus because she has a kid named Gus. And this is somebody who lives in Virginia. Or I think she just lives in North Carolina. Like, I can't use her baby name, but I'm just like, I'm so weird. It's a little bit of a problem in my life.
That's crazy. That's awesome. You totally could have had to. There needs to be more Gus's as well.
I know. Well, I know. And my kids historically have really good dog names. I don't know about cat names. So my kids' names are Marshall, Lewis, and, well, Russell's not such a great dog name, but how good of a dog name is Lewis?
Lewis is good. That is a good
dog. I might use that when I get a dog someday.
You should. If you do, make sure you tweet at me, and we can do, like, a side-by-side picture.
Oh, my God, love. Yeah.
So I want to know, you guys, tell me about Super Secret Meeting. How did the idea come about, and tell me about it.
Hannah, you tell them.
Awesome. Yeah. So basically the idea came about at first. We, Rodale, which is our publisher, had a partnership with YouTube, and YouTube was like, we know you guys make great content. We want you to make content that's specific to YouTube. So we kind of like brainstormed and developed this idea based off of some other like videos we'd seen across the internet, about Super Secret Mystery Meeting, and it's totally different than anything Runner's World does. Usually Runner's World is, you know, a lot more serious and,
you know,
training and service.
Literature.
Yeah. But we wanted to do something that really worked on YouTube and on social, and we thought the idea for Super Secret was perfect for that. And the way it's edited, it's faster, it's like, a little, like, easier to digest, I think, and just a little more fun.
Yeah. We, like, Dave, our video producer, came to us, and, like, I don't know why he thought that I would be funny, but he just thought that I might be an interesting person, and Hannah might have suggested me because we were friends. Like, that's what is really great about the show, is that it's, like, really came from somewhere really organic, which is that... the two of us run together, and we're friends in the office. And then our friendship really just has developed through Super Secret, which is hilarious. and like a lot of our day is spent talking about Super Secret Mystery Meeting, and it's kind of fun, like, to be like friends and also create like something that I hope that other people in the running community kind of like can laugh at us and with us and train with us.
How often do you guys put out episodes?
We put out one every Friday.
Oh, that's when I put out my podcast episodes.
Oh, perfect!
Every Friday. Okay, so I want to know, like, how many hours a week are going into putting, you know, like, thinking of the topics, recording, and then you guys don't do the editing, so you record, and then you're like, see ya!
Yeah!
Lucky!
We're super lucky, yeah. The editing part, like Dave says, like, he goes home is here at the office on a Friday night for, like, hours after everybody else because he has to deal with our voices, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. And Derek, our other video producer, he has the same situation going on. But luckily, they're really helpful and try to keep us on track when we're recording, so it's not too much to edit down. But we do come up with the show ideas, so
yeah.
How long does that take us?
It depends. Like, we had a meeting, like, a couple of weeks ago, brainstorming for the beginning of 2017, and we planned out, like, 3 months of episodes, probably in, like, an hour.
Yeah.
So
like,
then,
12-ish episodes.
Exactly.
Yeah. So then we'll have different shoot days set up, and usually we'll try to shoot, like, 3 or 4 episodes at a time, so we have them, like, planned out for the following.
But that's a secret, because we really are actually doing the episode every Friday. No, not really.
We're really putting it out there for people to know.
Yeah.
Behind-the-scenes
stuff.
That's interesting, though. So do you have to bring outfit changes?
We do. We do outfit changes. And then some people can see, like, when I don't change my nail polish for 4 weeks, like, oh my gosh, like,
you
crazy.
Yeah. Totally. So how long does each video take to shoot? I mean, it probably just depends on how many cuts you have to take, some longer than others.
It depends sometimes on how long we talk for, which is, I mean, we've shot a 5-minute episode, and it's, like, cut down from 30 minutes to an hour of us just talking, especially when we have guests on. It's, we talk to them for a long time.
We talk to them for a really long time, and it depends on, like, how off track we get when we start talking.
Yeah.
But our producer is really good at, you know, reining us in. And,
sometimes.
So, yeah, like, it takes, like, usually about a half an hour or so to make, like, a 5-minute episode.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys, I mean, I was like, I looked at watched the bra episode. So do you kind of try to, like, organically bring in, I mean, that was like a moving comfort lady. So, like, that's like the sponsor of the episode. So you kind of, like, organically bring in people like that?
That one, actually, it wasn't sponsored. It wasn't sponsored. She just happened to be coming to the Runner's World offices, and we're like, you're here. Like, it'd be so much fun. And she was totally game to do.
Yeah.
We did, 2 things with her while she was here. We did a Facebook Live with her that was a little more, like, serious service about how to find a right fitting sports bra and, you know, what things not to do with your sports bras, like put them in the dryer and all that.
Yeah.
So we shot that for the Runner's World Facebook page. And then we also did Super Secret with her, which was a little more, you know, relaxed and casual take on the same stuff, but it did really well, and it wasn't sponsored, but it was a good kind of brand integration.
And we get really lucky when people come into our offices and we just kind of grab them and are like, come on, we're gonna film you, we're gonna take our shirts off.
It's totally normal.
When did you record it?
When was that one?
That was April of last year.
Okay, April. I'm just thinking, I only want to be standing in my sports bra for a video if it's, like, June, right?
I know! Yeah. We were
not
actually,
that you guys looked pale, but I would just be self-conscious of myself because you're coming out of winter. But I actually thought that was more recent than that.
No, it was, we were so pale, and we were like, ugh, but we did it.
Well, I will say, I have a Moving Comfort sports bra. I don't remember which one it is, but it's really cute. And I wore it on my bike workout yesterday. And then I was convinced myself to go swim. Well, I just had a baby like 7 weeks ago, and I don't own a one piece, so I was like, I'm just gonna do it. I'm just gonna, like, put myself out there. And I forgot my bathing suit top, so I wore my Movie Covered sports bra as my bathing suit top in the pool.
That's they said awesome. That, like, you can do that. Their newer ones are made out of bathing suit material.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, it felt fine. I mean, it was definitely kind of like I felt like a little weighted there in the chest than I would with like a thin swimsuit, but it was totally fine. And it was actually cuter than my swimsuit anyway.
Nice.
I keep thinking though that Brooks or Saucony or somebody like that should come out with bathing suits. Like swim. I feel like a lot of runners are cross training now, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and then it could be like a swimsuit that you can actually really swim in, as opposed to one that's like, oh, there goes my top.
That would be nice, yeah. Seriously. Because yeah. Even the ones they get at, like, I mean, Athleta, I have a really nice one from there. Is that how you say that word?
I say Athleta.
Okay.
Do I say
Athleta? Yeah, okay.
What do you say? Athleta?
I say Athleta.
Maybe I'm saying it wrong. What do you say, Anna?
I say Athleta, too.
Yeah, that's what I say. Oh. You're wrong, Allie.
That one is good, but it comes off in the ocean, so it should help us out.
Yes, do that for sure. So what's your favorite, or what's your most popular episode so far?
Oh,
our most popular episode. I think a lot of people hate-watched this episode.
Hate-watched, I love that.
Yeah. They hated on us so bad.
And we felt really bad, but, you know, a view is a view.
Whatever.
It was our, worst questions to ask a runner?
Yeah.
5 questions you should never ask a runner.
Yeah, 5 questions you should never ask a runner.
Well, do you remember them off the top of your head?
Oh, what are you running from? Because that's that weird thing that your old uncle asks you because he thinks he's funny. And then what were the other ones?
Do your knees hurt?
Yep.
Yeah. They're just like I remember another one was, just why? Like when people ask you why, like they don't understand why anyone would run ever.
Yeah.
Well, I want to ask you that then. Cause my answer is so I don't murder my children. Not really, but you know, what's your answer?
Mine is, I don't know.
Let me ask you the annoying questions.
It's different when you ask it, when a runner asks you why.
Yeah, because you, like, know there's, like, that unspoken. Right. But I think it just makes me feel better. It clears my head. I feel like I can get out a lot of stress and anxiety through running. And it's, you know, it's fun to do with your friends.
Yeah. I think that's, like, exactly right. And, like, I really started running again to quit smoking. And so that's kind of just, like, been, like, almost a new addiction. Just to be healthier, and you just feel so much better. So we get stressed out a lot here. I mean, every woman does. You need an outlet, and I think running is that for me.
Now, you were a smoker. How many years did you smoke?
From the ages of, like, let's say 14 to 16, then a break from 16 to 18, and then 18 to 27.
Wow.
So, yeah, I know. It was horrible, but also lovely, because I thought I was cool.
Well, it's so. Just, that's, to me, I'm like, I feel like you don't see people our age or in our generation that smoke. So just really surprising. You're probably really surprised people when you tell people that.
People are super surprised about it. And I grew up, my dad was a heavy smoker and a Marine. So it was just like the tough mentality, I think. And, you know, when it's in your house, you just are more inclined to do it, I think, and that sucks, but now I've made a complete 360, or 180.
Yeah, 180.
Yeah.
Would 360 get you back to smoking?
I think so. Some days I'm real close. But,
then you go for a run.
Yeah, then, exactly, with Hannah.
So your most, that was your hate views, was your most viewed episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always wonder who's hate listening to me. Like, I wonder if there's people from my, like, past life, like my high school or something, that sees me post on Facebook and they, like, don't really like me, but they listen because, you know, it's like you can't look away, but you'd hate it at the same time.
Yeah.
There's people like that you follow on social media.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, nobody's hate listening. Hi.
Keep listening.
Yeah, keep listening. True. Tell me what you hate.
Yeah.
Do you get any comments?
You know what? I really haven't. I have on iTunes, I have most of my reviews are good, but I have one star. And I'm like, who are you? Can you come forward? I just wanted to know, is the one star for the audio? Is my voice annoying? Do I say like too much? Like, just tell me what the one star's for.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would take criticism very well, to be completely honest. What do you guys do when you read that? Where do you read it? Where are you seeing these reviews?
It's mostly when I post. So each video then goes into an article on runnersworld.com, and then I post it onto the Runner's World Facebook page, which is where most of our hate comments come from. Because
the Facebook page.
Yeah. We have 2 million followers on Runner's World's Facebook page. So, you know, we're not everyone's cup of tea.
And some people just don't understand that we were trying to be funny and like make it fun. And it's hard to be like, I want to respond and be like, no, I'm totally inclusive. I'm so happy you're running. But like, Hannah's like, don't do that.
Yeah. Like, it was a joke. Like, really, truly. Yeah. It was a joke.
Right. That too. Yeah.
People take things the wrong way. They don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, there was some article a couple years ago floating around that was like, the most annoying things about runners or something like that. I think it was like 3 years ago. And it was kind of funny. But I think there were some runners that were like getting offended. So then I wrote a blog post. I'll have to look it up. I'll put it in the show notes. That was like, this is actually what's really annoying about runners. Like, you missed like 12 different items. And I'm a runner, so I can tell you what they are, you know?
Yeah.
No, totally. I think people need to like not take themselves so seriously sometimes and have fun and laugh at yourself.
Especially
we certainly do laugh at ourselves.
Right. It's a weird sport. It's like not a sport that like I couldn't go out and take myself as seriously as a basketball player, like, because there's like, you know, you look to like famous basketball players, but like for runners, it's so strange. You're racing alongside elites in some of these races. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like there's just this attitude that they are the most serious thing in the world. And it's like, guess what? We're all running really slow. Like, it's okay to not take yourself so seriously.
Yeah.
Tell me, I want to know about your running. Like, what's your story? Both of you.
What's our story? I started running 6 months before I got the job at Runner's World. I started running, it was my senior year of college, and I started with a Couch to 5K program. I was never a runner before. I hated running. Hated running. So much. So much so that on my high school's varsity tennis team, we used to have to run before practice, and we would run until we were out of sight of our coach and then just start walking. So I hated running, but I was graduating from college. I didn't know what I was doing with my life, and I felt like I need something else to focus on besides all of these big, scary, like, adulting decisions. So I started running, and then when I started working here, there's a lot of positive peer pressure at Runner's World. So I was here maybe, like, 2 months before everyone was like, you got to run a marathon. You have to run a marathon. So I signed up for my first marathon.
Which one was that?
Big Sur.
Which is crazy.
Totally.
I was like, you know what? It's going to be really, really hard, but it's going to be beautiful, and there's no pressure. It's first marathon. So and then it's all, you know, uphill from there.
So when was that? How many years ago was that?
That was, I ran Big Sur in 2013, spring 2013.
Have you run any marathons since?
Yeah, I have run Chicago and Marine Corps.
Okay.
Oh, and I was registered for New York last year and tore my hamstring 2 weeks before.
Oh. So. Do you like the big races then?
I do. I ran Marine Corps and Big Sur with work, so It was like, we have Runner's World VIP, which is our VIP training program, and it's just like a really great experience. Like, seamless training and pre-race and post-race is amazing. You get your own porta potties, which is amazing. So then when I ran Chicago, not with work, I was like, what is this? There's so many people. How do I
have to wait in line to go to the bathroom?
Yeah. So I think that big city experience wasn't as great, but I loved Big Sur. Big Sur is still my favorite. It was so beautiful, and like, it's way more like chill of a marathon than the other ones that I've done.
Mm-hmm. So, what about you, Allie?
So I was the opposite of Anna. I ran in high school. I wasn't the opposite, because I hated running in high school. It was the worst. And my coach was really intense, and we ran a lot of 2 days and a lot of intervals and just like a lot of really high mileage. And we won state championships 2 years, and that was great. As a team, I'm not fast enough to win on my own, but
were you on the varsity team that won state?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be pretty fast, right?
It was the small school division. Okay. So, I mean, like, I was fast, but it wasn't like...
Right.
You're fast.
But I'm all right. I wasn't like Division A. I couldn't go to a D1 school, that, you know, so that's how I compare myself. But it was kind of a trying experience, and I had played tennis in high school for my freshman and sophomore years, then switched to cross country. And then I got out of it, and I was like, that's it. I am never running again. I hate it, and it is the worst. So for the next couple of years, my hobbies were mostly like drinking and smoking. So that was great. College was a fun time. I did play tennis in college somehow. I don't know how. So then I did AmeriCorps when I graduated from college, and I was working at an inner city school. And they needed a cross country coach, and they were like, didn't you run cross country in high school? And I was like, yeah. So I started coaching these kids and started kind of making them do the same things that my coach was having me do. And then I realized, like, I should really like try that with them. So I started running with them and adjusted the practices based on like my capabilities, because they were all beginning runners. And so we were really doing like a 1 mile at a time type of program, just to get them, you know, acclimated to the sport. And that was great. So I still kind of hated running, but for the next 3 years, I slowly became a runner. And then all of a sudden I was running like a half marathon, and it was just kind of crazy. Like, my whole life transformed, and I became like this real healthy person. Then I got the job here because I was like, running changed my life, and they hired me. And, that was great. I ran Marine Corps last year. Was it last year?
Is that your first marathon?
That was my first marathon, and only so far. It was kind of painful, and I ran it like, you know, 4 hours. Like, I wanted to break four so bad, and I was at 4:01. I know, it was devastating, but so I do plan to run another to break that 4 hour barrier. And then we'll see how that goes. But I wanted to give my body like a full year. Like Hannah said, there's a lot of positive peer pressure around here, to run a marathon after marathon after marathon. And I was like, you know what, guys? My legs feel like they're broken. Like, I'm going to take some time. And we really focused on 5Ks in the spring and summer. And that was so much fun. So
there's something about that 4 hour. Like, when I trained for my first marathon, like 9 million years ago, that was like my whole thing too. I was like, we're going to run a marathon. Like, I don't know what we're going to do. You know, it's our first one. You just want to finish. But there was something like, but we want to break 4 hours. Like, it's just like a thing, you know?
I didn't want to put the goal in my head of that, because like Coach Bud, our coach around here, was like, don't give yourself any goals. You don't know how your body's going to react to this. But I was like, 4 hours, like, right. I can do that, you know, in the back of my head. And then when I got to the end and I saw that 4:01,
I was like,
good Lord, I shouldn't have given myself a goal.
Right. It's funny. I coached a girl with the Saucony 26 Strong Project a year and a half ago, and I kind of had in my head to get her under four. She literally ran 3:59:59.
Yes.
Like, I'm like, how are you the luckiest person in the world? Like, that the clock didn't roll over to 4:00:01. You know what I mean? Like, and now you can say it. You did your marathon, and you broke 4 hours, and you were right there, but you did it.
Yeah, that's right.
So tell me about the 5K thing. I mean, to me, 5K stressed me out more than marathons, because you have to run so fast.
I kept getting like super nervous before every 5K. And my boyfriend was like, why are you so nervous? Just a 5K. Like, it's 3 miles sober in like no time. But it's scary because it's like a lot can go wrong in 3 miles. And you know it's going to hurt. Or, like, it should hurt because you need
to
run
fast. From, like, mile one on.
And it's, like, you need to do so much beforehand, like, warming up. But, I don't know. I really wanted to do it this year because I, you know, got injured last fall with the hamstring stuff. And I was, like, I didn't think my body was built for marathons. I think, like, my body mechanics might just not
work, or I kept like overtraining and, you know, not doing all the stuff you're supposed to do, like strength training and stretching and all that. So I was like, maybe if I focus on 5Ks, my mileage will be a little lower and then I can do the extra stuff and not risk injury again. And it was a lot of fun.
Hannah runs an like insane amount of miles weekly to
what
me. Is,
but, what are they? Let me hear.
No, they're not that crazy.
I think they're crazy.
I run like with the 5K stuff, like 35 miles a week.
Which is a lot if you're training for 5K.
Everybody thinks, I mean, everybody's like, oh, yeah, they're around here. I'm like, oh, I'm about at 15. Like, I recently started CrossFit, so that's a whole nother story.
Oh,
so
yeah. When did you start it? When did you start it?
What, like 2 months ago now?
Are you like addicted? Do you love it?
Oh God, I can't stop. Like I took last week off because like my shoulder, I definitely lifted a little too heavy. Whoops. But I've been like, I just love it. I think it's something new that my body can do and I can fit it into a low mileage plan and still get some pretty decent racing results. So that's pretty cool for the fast stuff. But now I'm like, all right, we're going to be running a half marathon in the spring and, I've got to start.
Which one are you doing?
It's still undecided.
Oh, it's a runner's world thing. Okay.
Secret half marathon. But we have a decently aggressive time goal for us. We really want to break 1:45.
Okay.
My PR is 1:52.
Mine's 1:55, but...
Oh, so are you going to run together then?
Yeah, we're going to Shalane and Amy it.
Really? Who's going to be Shalane and who's going to be Amy? And is this the Olympic trials or is this the Olympics?
Oh, man, these are a lot of cool big questions.
Definitely Olympic trials style. Yeah, I'll probably be the Shalane.
There's no way you'll be Shalane. We'll both be Shalane, just like dragging each other to the finish.
Yeah.
When's it going to be announced where you guys are going to be?
Hopefully very soon.
Yeah.
We're really excited to.
It might be the end of this week or it might be 2 weeks. We're not sure. Yeah. We're in the dark.
That is so fun. You guys can definitely do that. What training plan are you using?
Our coach here, we have a coach at Runner's World, Bud Coates. He is a very accomplished runner himself. He qualified for the Olympic trials three times, a couple
four times.
And he also marathoner, he's crazy fast.
He's a one marathoner, 2:30, you said?
2:13.
Oh, 2:13, no big deal.
Yeah, just a little fast there.
He knows a little something about
what is that, like 4:55 a mile or something?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. If you just did that math and that's it, that sounds horrible.
It's under five.
That's insane. He's amazing. He wrote that book called Running on Air, which is like you breathe in three and then you like breathe out two, and that's how your like conversational pace should be. Like three steps, then two steps. It's kind of hard to explain, but basically it's the only thing. Sometimes I get really flustered when I'm running and think about 1,000 different things, and that is really helpful.
There's an entire book on it?
It's called
Running on Air.
That's a lot of writing about breathing.
Yeah.
I'm just like, man.
It helps a lot of people, PR, so.
That's, I always tell people, my husband and I coach runners virtually, just, I always do say the conversation pace, and I give them a range of like an entire minute, because I know that depending on what day of the week it is or what you're doing, like an 8-minute mile could feel like a 9-minute mile on, you know, certain days.
Yes. Yeah.
But I feel like if I can't hold a conversation, like I should be able to talk to you like we're talking right now if I'm running my easy pace, right?
Yeah.
That's what Bud says.
That is what Bud says. And he thinks like we met with him together and he said, like, you guys are probably running too fast. Mm-hmm. And Hannah and I are really, we love running together, but we're really terrible at running together because we both are we accelerate at the same time and then we decelerate at the same time. It's really strange. We're like, oh, look,
a butterfly up ahead, and then we're running like a 7-minute pace, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, why are we dying? Let's slow way down, and then we're like at 12 minutes. So it's pretty much, I don't know why that happens, but if we run with our other friend Megan, she's excellent at keeping us right around 9, which is usually our conversational pace.
Do you do workouts together too, like stress workouts?
We have, we have a trail kind of out behind our office here, and Bud will do, like, Wednesday workouts out on the trail. They're really hard. Allie's usually way ahead of me.
I really like intervals, and I probably run them too fast, and whatever, that's fine. Like, that's like, my jam.
That's how you just get like, fast. There you go.
I guess so. I like to, like, almost be puking at the end of every one, and Bud's like, calm down, you're crazy, but I like it. It's cool.
Two follow-up things about this. Does he do weekly? Does he lead this every single week for people at the office?
For the most part. In the winter, it gets a little sporadic because, like, if there's snow on the trail, we can't really go on it. And also, like, the ground just gets frozen. He doesn't like us to run on that because we might get hurt. It's not as forgiving. But usually, like, I don't know, February or March through November, we have weekly workouts out there.
Yep.
So my second follow-up is, do you guys have a treadmill in your office?
Not in our office.
We do.
We do?
There's a treadmill desk.
Where's the treadmill desk? I didn't know.
Can you do a tempo run while working on the treadmill desk?
Yes. I'll just tweet live. Oh, Facebook Live, my tempo workout.
You should.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, we have a treadmill desk over, but no one ever uses it.
No one at Runner's World ever uses the treadmill desk.
It's actually over by non-Runner's World people who think it's too noisy. So I'm like, let's put that over. But then we also have a gym that's not attached to our building, but right next door that has treadmills.
Tons of treadmills.
Everything.
It's called the Energy Center.
So, like, you can do, like, strength workouts in there?
Yeah.
And they have classes, too, like spin classes and, like, strength
boot
classes.
Boot camp. What is that called? Boot camp?
Yeah. Yoga, Pilates.
I'm assuming you have a shower in there, in the office.
Yeah,
we do have showers.
That's nice.
Thank goodness. Yeah.
That's huge. My third follow-up is Bud. That's a really great baby name, too.
Oh, my God, right?
Like, it's, like, very much along the lines of Gus.
Oh, my God.
I love that name. Yes.
Is his real name Buddy?
What is his real name?
His real name's Bud.
That's a great name.
And he's, like, such a Bud, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
How old is Bud? I want to be friends with Bud.
Oh, you should be. Everybody should be. How old is Bud?
I don't know. We probably shouldn't guess his age.
Don't guess his age. I just assumed older. It sounds like an older name, Bud. I don't know. I'm picturing it. I have a picture in my head.
We'll send you a picture.
Yeah.
Then don't get offended about age. It's not like you're guessing the age of like a 40-year-old woman and you're saying she's 50. You know, it's completely
right.
Different.
That's true.
Like, don't guess that I'm 40, please. What's your favorite thing about working at Runner's World?
Good question. Everything. I really like it here. The culture is really good, and like some of my best friends work here, so I feel like you get to wake up, and even if you're like, oh my God, I have so much work to do, at least you get to like pop into their offices and bother them. That's like how I feel about it.
How many people work there? In the office, at least.
How many people? We just had a big meeting with everybody, and I was like, whoa, a lot more people work here than originally.
Yeah.
We're checking the masthead.
Yeah.
On the editorial side.
We think editorial, edit is
15? 15-ish. 15 to 20 editorial.
15 to 20 editorial.
There we go. And pretty much all those people are in our Pennsylvania office, but we also have a New York office in Manhattan.
Yeah.
So that's where most of our sales team is, though.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I feel like people probably become runners, and they're like, I want to work for Runner's World, and that's, like, a huge dream for a lot of people. How did you guys, I mean, did you just fill in, like, how did it work out that you got the jobs at Runner's World?
Yeah, I think, people probably get really excited when they see jobs open at Runner's World, and they really, you know, if they're runners, they really want to work here. But we definitely prioritize, like, journalism or communications background first. Not everyone on staff is a runner. There are some non-runners on staff. But I applied to the job. I was working at a tiny weekly newspaper in Massachusetts as a reporter, and I saw a tweet that Runner's World was hiring. So I just applied for it and was like, well, we'll see. And I got it. But I studied journalism in college and had a really strong journalism background and happened to be a runner. But there was definitely a lot of learning that I had to do before I started, especially like the elite side of the sport. I was not really privy to that at all when I started. So,
yeah. But I feel like that's great, though, because it makes you relatable to people that aren't elite runners or aren't, you know, insanely fast. Like you just said, you started a Couch to 5K 6 months before you started working there. So it makes you very relatable.
Yeah, that's really true.
Yeah.
What about you, Allie? What did your story look like going into Runner's World?
I didn't have a journalism background, but a literature background in writing. I have my master's in fine arts. And I happened to be working at like a trade publication for coaches and athletic directors because I was basically like, I love sports. And so I took this job where I was writing how to be a better coach, which was like a hilarious thing for me because I was interviewing these like D1 football coaches every day and just like laughing because I knew nothing of what they were talking about. And I was just like really distilling it to being like, the best way to motivate your locker room. And it was just very strange. And worked with a lot of dudes who like smelled really bad and saw this opening at Runner's World and was like, oh, that's my jam. I bet those people don't smell as bad as these people. And it was working on features. And a lot of our long form in our magazine is kind of literary. So it really felt like, a good fit, and I applied, and I applied using a bunch of my trade publication clips and then a few of my long form essays because in my other life I'm still a writer, and luckily somebody on the edit staff or in HR saw that I had a decent amount of writing talent and was like, okay, yeah, you don't know anything about journalism, but we can groom you a little bit. And I got really lucky, I feel. And now I feel like I've been here like a year and a half, and I feel like I'm finally just figuring out my role and everything that I can do and my strengths as an editor. And yeah, it's really cool. It's a great place to learn and work and to be a runner, because you're not just learning about the magazine. You're also, you know, bettering yourself as a runner every day.
Yeah.
So with the super secret meeting, though, are you guys carving out extra hours, or have you added that into what you're already doing? Like, what does that look like?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. This is something that we all kind of just struggle with, because mm-hmm. we're all trying to do so many different things. And I feel like sometimes I get done with my day to day and then I'm like, oh, wait, I need to write a description for the episode, and I need to talk to the video team to see what they need. Do they need strange pictures of me from Instagram? And it's like, you know, that you don't think is like a lot of work or a lot of time, but it really adds up. So it's great. And I always tell people that working on this show is one of my favorite parts of the job, but it definitely is. It's extra. Yeah.
Totally.
Definitely, like, extra work, not necessarily in our job description, but we really love it. It's worth it.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth it.
Do you guys take work home with you? I mean, do you work 8 to 5 in the office most days?
Yeah. 9 to 6. Yeah. Okay. We're like, Hannah gets in early. I can't wake up. So usually I'm like 9:15, but don't tell anybody.
Yeah, I definitely take work home. With social media, like, it never stops. So I take my computer home every day. I'm always checking email, responding to email, checking our Facebook page, making sure everything is posting as it should. And we get a lot of messages in our inbox as well that I need to check. And it's just always on, and just paying attention to what else is going on in the world, so we don't, you know, have something go out when there's a crisis happening elsewhere. It's just always working.
Hannah's literally always on. I get to take breaks. It's nice. Like, but I do. I take work home with me, but nothing like social. It's like a crazy.
Yeah, with social, it's like, I mean, that's your entire job. for the most part, right? Like, I mean, so all the social media, the Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, what else are you guys doing? Is there any other platform? I mean, are you doing Snapchat?
We do have a Snapchat, but we don't really invest a whole lot of time there because our audience really isn't there. We've tried stuff, but it's kind of like we've invested more in Instagram stories.
I was wondering about that.
And doing stuff on Instagram, and definitely Facebook is a huge traffic driver, but also really great for engagement with our Facebook Lives. And we do Twitter, Pinterest.
Pinterest. So yeah. Tell me about that. Like, how often are you posting on Pinterest or pinning or whatever?
So most of our traffic from Pinterest comes from readers pinning stuff from our website. So it's not always so much of what I'm scheduling to go out, but I do try to schedule some stuff each week to go out, like on Sundays, especially. That's a high Pinterest day.
Take notes, people.
Yeah. Pinterest Sundays, be there. But yeah, I mean, I love Pinterest. I use Pinterest all the time, but
me too.
It's definitely another one. We also still post to Google Plus.
Oh, I post to Google Plus.
Yeah.
Google likes that.
Yeah.
Makes your stuff more searchable. But I'm like, who sees this? I don't know. Is it because I'm using this hashtag or what? But I post I post all my episodes to Google Plus. Like, I don't know what it's doing, but hopefully something.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We have about 500,000 followers on Google Plus. And I'm like, who are, like, where are you coming from?
Google Plus. So how often are you posting things to Google Plus?
Usually anything that goes up on our Facebook page is also going up on our Google Plus profile. So
how many posts a day do you do on Facebook?
We do.
That's how your videos are.
Yeah. We do like usually 35 to 40 posts a day.
That's insane.
Yes.
That is a full-time job. That is insane. Yep.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Is it usually articles on your website? I mean, is it usually just references to different articles that are going out?
Yeah, it's a lot of that. Some native videos on Facebook. And also our motivational quote images perform really well. So we post those too.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Do you guys have software for your Facebook Live where you can like do a Facebook Live like through Skype?
We don't. No.
How do we get that? No.
Well, I'm asking because my sister works in digital media and she's been toying with it a little bit and she's been having they bought some software, her company, and she's been having lots of issues with it. And I keep thinking with my podcast, I've done some Facebook Live or I've done Facebook Live on a couple interviews for like 10 minutes to do like a teaser. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what I do. I get my iPad out and I like video me and the people on the screen. I mean, it's super ghetto.
I love that.
But it still kind of works. But I mean, for a big company like you guys, that probably would make sense. I mean, if you're doing it often and Facebook Live is like so the hype right now.
Yeah. Some of the other brands owned by our publisher have some of the different tools. And maybe we'll get them someday.
It's just Facebook Live is so the thing. It's so awkward now, too, because, like, all of a sudden you're on Facebook and some random person you, like, went to college with is like, blah, 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 blah. Oh, you know, their face is all up in your business.
Yes. There was seriously somebody that was, like, just singing the other day, and I accidentally opened it, and I was like, what the hell are you doing?
Paige.
Yeah.
Right. We tried one. We tried it from the Super Secret page when we were, like, seriously having maybe 50 followers.
Yeah.
And we discussed man buns, and it was, like, and we also were filming upside down, and it was just a rag.
You think it looks right, but it's upside down. We
were trying to use a selfie stick, and that didn't work
at all.
Oh, a selfie stick.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I've got no shame with Instagram stories. Like, those don't – I'm not, like, embarrassed – to have, like, my big face up in that with my kids and stuff. But, like, Facebook Live, man, it's intimidating.
It's a big deal. I feel like I have to have something to say.
Very important.
Yeah. Or a watermelon to blow up.
Okay, so we can get to our fun, like, and I hate to wrap up, but, I mean, We're at like 53 minutes, right? And my
holy
aunt,
cow!
I know.
We talk a lot, sorry.
I know. No, I do too. I knew this interview would be easy, and then we just like chat like friends, which is what the podcast is.
I love that. Yeah.
But I made my husband work from home today, and so we could do this. And he took all three of my kids to the Y, and like they're gonna be like storming through the door in probably 15 minutes. So I better
absolutely. Also, tell him thank you.
Oh my gosh, it's like the best day of my life when he works from home because I'm home with our three kids, and whenever I schedule this stuff, like I was actually gonna seriously go to the YMCA and be like, hey, do you guys have a room or like a closet I can record this interview?
Oh my gosh. Oh my God.
You just do what works, right? You just figure it out.
Yes.
Because I can use their childcare.
Nice.
I wanted to ask you guys, though, first of all, are you going to be watching The Bachelor?
Yes. I am a huge Bachelor fan.
Awesome.
Huge. Yeah. So, I usually watch it on the treadmill when I'm running.
Okay. I'm definitely going to have you back on then because I'm doing a special, like, extra series on, like, Bachelor specific. So,
oh my gosh.
I don't want to talk too much about The Bachelor on, like, the regular show because maybe, what, like, 20% of people really like it that listen. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's some girls that, like, love it and they want to hear about it, but I can't spend an entire episode on it.
Yeah.
People. So next week I'm starting, like, I'm going to interview with my sister-in-law, who's the biggest Bachelor fan of all time.
Nice.
And she's like, she was like first episode, or first season of The Bachelor. I mean, she's been faithful, Bachelor, Bachelorette, like huge. So we're going to dissect all the contestants before the, before the season
That's
starts.
Awesome.
But I'll have to have you on for like a, so Allie, you should watch it with her so you can come on with her.
Can we talk about Flavor of Love or like, you know, like bring back some of the old school shows? And
I thought Flavor of Love. Is that like with Ice Cube or something? What's Flavor of Love?
What? No. Okay. All right. I'll watch The Bachelor if you go on. Where can you find this? Maybe YouTube.
It was on VH1, right?
Yeah. And it's like Flavor Flav has a bunch of like women on and he tells them that he hates them and makes them do all these like really ghetto things. It's a horrible show, but it was so good. So.
Do you remember the Brett Michaels had some like
yes, Rock of Love. That was the like
gangster.
Predecessor.
Yeah. Okay, that was the gangster version.
Yes, you got it.
That's hilarious. So in Super Secret Meeting, you guys talked about how Allie has a love for Lil Wayne.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I love Lil Wayne.
But
a
she
lot.
Like went to his concert.
I did.
I want to know about that.
It was life-changing. It was amazing. That was my favorite concert of all time, and I really like music, but I particularly like hip-hop.
What's the demographic? Like, who are you there with at the Lil Wayne concert? And do you stand out like a... stick out like a sore thumb?
I remember beforehand, you were like, what should I wear?
Yeah, like, it was the big question. And then, like, so we went with our friends Megan and Paul, who are... would you describe them as preppy? Like... sophisticated, and then my husband who dresses like the LL Bean catalog, and then like I tried to make myself look like I would fit in, right? But I'm like a 30-year-old woman with like I have big hair, so that was good.
Your
but
hair's awesome, though. Like,
oh, thank you. it's giant, but I did not really fit in. There was like a lot of like younger, you know, gangster type mm-hmm. people. Their dancing was a lot better than mine, but I can still get down. It was okay. And I was not intimidated, though, I will say. Like,
good.
I was like, you know what? I could definitely ball out with you people. Like, I don't know. Like, what do you say?
Yeah.
Like,
now, when was that?
That's a cool thing to say. That was last, oh my God,
February.
Last February. Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to get that song you guys played, 6 foot, 7 foot.
Yeah.
Like, if you guys played, like the clip came on in the episode, and I was like, yes, I love this.
Yeah.
And I don't know the song.
Yeah.
So I feel like I have a love for Tupac, like you have a love for Lil Wayne.
Oh. Well,
do you love
Tupac? Yeah. I mean, like, you have to love Tupac. My cross-country coach actually used to make us listen to a lot of Tupac, so I have a deep appreciation.
I feel
appreciation.
Like you could get in trouble for that if you were, like, kids.
Yeah. Like...
So
do you know the song with Tupac and Bone Thugs that starts with like the electricity sound and then the gunshots? Yeah,
I know the Bone Thugs song that starts with like the gunshots. Is Tupac in that too?
I think he makes
something about Armageddon at the beginning.
There's a possibility of that. They say in the song, it goes, it starts out from Cleveland to LA.
Oh yeah. That was like my jam in high school. Like in my 1989 Honda Accord, like, oh yeah, pop-up lights. That song and then Notorious Thugs, which I'm obsessed with Notorious Thugs. You know, Biggie and Bone Thugs. You know the song Notorious Thugs?
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. That's like excellent. Yes.
So if you put Tupac Pandora on, which I run to that all the time, they play and I give Notorious Thugs the thumbs up. So it comes on pretty much every single run because they know how much I like it. If you give it a thumbs up every time.
That's awesome.
Every time it comes on and I'm on the treadmill or whatever, I just like get this big smile on my face and I start rapping with it, like not out loud but quietly, but people are probably like, what is that girl doing?
Awesome.
Part of the reason I bring up Tupac, though, is did you know that he was nominated to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame today?
I didn't know that.
That's what Derek just
wrote. Derek wrote us a note to tell us this. We should have a celebration. We should pour some liquor.
I'm wearing, I have a Tupac, like, tank top that nice. It's one of those, like, t-shirt tank tops that, like, cuts on the side really big right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to wear it for a picture today, but I'm not actually going to wear it to work out because I have this, like, baby pooch going on that, you know, I had a baby 7 weeks ago. No, but, like, it looks really funny in the shirt. It's like, I'm not, I will wear the shirt again, but, like, I'm not there yet. So I'm definitely going to do a picture. And then Pearl Jam and Journey were also nominated to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
They weren't in there yet?
It has to be, like, 25 years from, like, your first album or whatever.
Oh.
Think? Right?
That's, yeah. I know Crute will be really excited about Pearl Jam and Journey. He loves that Journey song because of the Sopranos.
Believing?
Yeah.
My husband's, like, the biggest Pearl Jam fan of all time, so.
Really?
Yes. And our baby has a onesie, like a Pearl Jam onesie, so, like, I'm going to totally take a picture of me with my Tupac shirt on and him with a
Yes!
We don't have a Journey. We don't have any Journey apparel, though.
No, that's okay.
Super sad. Okay, friends. I know you guys are loving Hannah and Allie as much as I do. I really hope that we can be friends in real life and meet up sometime. Before we continue my conversation, though, I want to give a shout out to Generation UCAN for sponsoring this episode of All Have Another Podcast. This is the best fueling source you can possibly use. You guys go to generationucan.com/another. Use promo code another, all caps, to get your 15% discount at checkout. Try them out. Let me know what you think. I know you're going to love them. Thank you, Generation UCAN. Did you guys happen to think of top five people that you like to follow on social media?
Yes, right now. It's like at this moment.
At this moment.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so the first person we thought of was our friend Holly, who's fueled by LOLs.
Oh,
she's
a
big
fanner.
Yeah. Holly's so sweet, and she's funny on Twitter, and we just, like, we love her.
She's hilarious. She came to the Runner's World Half and was on our live show, and it was a lot of fun.
She was? Yeah. I need to watch that.
Do we have, she might not be up yet, her interview. That might be.
She was on my podcast.
Oh, was she?
I remember what episode. She's, like, in the teens somewhere.
Okay. I'll go
we'll
find her.
Listen to it. Download it. Okay, I love Holly.
Next one is, so this is, like, top secret information. Well, not really, because I'm telling you. But our next street style person in the magazine, her name is Miss Hart, or Amanda Hart, Miss Hart on Instagram. She's adorable. She's in New York City, and she, like, goes around and tags people, hashtag run cute. Oh. So, like, it's, like, cool styles. That
so
was,
is it
like,
M.S. Hart, like M.S.H.A.R.T. or H.E.A.R.T.?
I think it's M-I-S-S-H-A-R-T and then an underscore.
Okay.
Also, the way I've been finding her is just, like, Googling Miss Hart, and then it comes up.
And once you do that enough, you'll memorize it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Thirdly, we wanted to give a shout-out to Emily Infeld. She is our favorite elite. Probably. We have a lot of favorite elites, but
yeah.
Emily Infeld is hilarious on social media, especially Instagram. She posts a lot of great cat gifs and stuff, and also photos of her cats, and she's
really hilarious.
Great.
Yeah.
She's also been on the podcast, so you need to listen to hers too. She's hilarious. Okay. She's awesome. She's adorable.
She is adorable, right? Yeah, we're all in love here at Run and Grow. Now that we're
hey Emily.
So well, yeah. Fourth is Dean the Basset Hound on Instagram. One of the best accounts of all time because it's a Basset Hound.
Yes. That's awesome.
We highly recommend.
We're big dog fans, so whenever there's a good dog to follow on Instagram, we are all over it.
Yeah.
Oh, the Doggist. Do you follow the Doggist?
Doggist? No, I don't.
I'm like going right
look
now.
Look up the Doggist. Allie, one of my recent guests, Allie Feller, she recommended the Doggist. Yeah.
Awesome.
It's a really good account. It's like Humans of New York for dogs.
Oh, too good to be true. Awesome. Okay, and then we decided that number five can share a slot. It's Heather Irvine and Megan Keita. They are the other two people in our run squad. Oh, we have more people in our run squad, but they're like...
These are like core members.
Yeah.
Core
of us. So Heather on Instagram is Irv, like I-R-V, and then H-E-A. I think.
No,
what is it?
She's Irvine H-E-A.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
Irvine H-E-A. Okay.
Yeah. And Heather's our fuel editor here. And then, so she takes a lot of great pictures of food and then also her racing. Like, that's kind of her main jam.
Yeah.
And also, she's just really funny. And then Megan Keita, she's M-E-H-G-R-A-C-E. She is our training editor and she's awesome. She doesn't really do a lot of training stuff on Instagram. She just mostly takes pictures of her adorable cat Nermal and, other activities that she does. She's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I love it. And so these are all Instagram.
Yeah. Yes.
I think they're the same on Twitter.
Yeah.
Heather's runs on fuel on Twitter. And I think Megan's the same.
Okay.
Yeah. Megan is the same. Yeah, they're both very funny on Twitter, too.
Do you guys have anything to recommend to our guests? Like, what's hot in your life right now? What are you loving?
Yeah, totally.
What are you loving?
What am I loving? Okay, so I just finished watching the show. The show's okay?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Totally. Cool. So I just finished watching in 6 days, like, all 7 seasons of Nurse Jackie. I highly recommend everybody watch this show.
Okay.
Are you, like, have you watched this yet?
So you're, like, the second person who's recommended it, and... I started it one day, and then I was like, I don't know if I'm in the mood for that. So I went back to whatever else I was watching. So
you have to be in the mood, totally. Okay. Like, it has to strike you at the right time, but then you'll get, like, really involved with the characters.
Okay.
And I especially recommend it for, like, Sopranos fans because, like, then all of your Sopranos characters are, like, different characters in this show. I really like when that happens. Like, that makes
my really? They bring on a lot of characters? Because Edie Falco's, like, the main woman, right?
She's the main woman, yeah. And then, like, the priest from The Sopranos is back in a different role. And it, I mean, like, obviously. But I'm like, oh, you were the priest! So...
Would you say that Sopranos is, like, one of the best shows of all time?
I think that The Sopranos arguably is the best show of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I've never seen Sopranos. So.
Oh yeah, you gotta watch The Sopranos. That's just like one of those shows.
I'll have to do that because I was a big Sex and the City fan.
Oh, totally.
HBO. Yeah. Like I love Sex and the City, so I think they were on it.
Sex and the City. You could just like pick up and watch anytime though. Sopranos, you kind of gotta be like following along and.
Yeah,
I think that's true. Yeah.
What else you got?
What are you into?
What am I into? Okay, I'm currently obsessed with this jacket that I got to keep from a photo shoot that we did here.
Awesome.
It's a Nike, like, shield jacket, and it's just got all this, like, crazy reflective on it, and I'm just obsessed with it. Also because a perk of the job at Runner's World is sometimes we get to keep really cool gear that I could never afford on my own. So, I love it.
That's awesome. Is it a warm jacket or is it like a windbreakery type jacket?
It's a vest.
Oh, it's a vest.
It's like a vest, yeah, with, I think there's like down in it. Like, it keeps me pretty warm, but the reflective is just amazing.
Mm-hmm. It is. Awesome. She looks really cool in it.
What color is it?
Yeah. If you look cool, you run better.
It's true.
That's what I think.
You do run better if you feel good. I will say that. Like, if you feel good in what you're wearing, for sure. Do you guys have any other recommendations there?
Her
clothes or
anything? Totally. So my weird thing that I've been eating lately are these things, these weird bars made with cricket flour. And
what is it?
So here's the deal. It's like called an Exo Cricket Bar. I'm going to hold it. Yeah.
Cricket as in like
the bug.
Cricket flour.
Yeah, sometimes I think that the weirder, the better in terms of you getting power. This is totally psychological. So, like, basically I'm like, oh, let me eat my cricket bar about 4 hours before CrossFit. And then I, like, go to CrossFit and I'm like, oh, the crickets are making me so
like, is it essentially, like, meat? I mean, would you consider that meat if it's insect? And, like, how many crickets do you have to use to make flour? I feel like they're so small. You'd have to use a lot of crickets.
Uh-oh. I'm killing off the cricket population.
What's the bar called? I want to know what the bar is called.
Oh, it's called an Exo bar?
Hold it. Okay. Like,
is that where I hold it?
Uh-huh. I'm like, don't even Exo bar. Look. I'm kind of
it says that crickets are good luck in some countries. That's another reason why I like it.
Yeah.
There's other bars that are made with crickets. Basically, I'll eat anything with a cricket in it.
is it chocolatey? It says cocoa on it.
Yeah. It's chocolatey.
Does it taste good?
Yes. I think anything with sugar tastes good, though, so that's, like, a whole other interest of mine is just sugar in general.
Just generally. Same,
for sure.
Yeah.
What's the best most recent book you've read?
Oh.
What did I say?
Did you have something, though? It looked like you were, like, thinking of something.
Did we have something?
Oh, can we announce one thing about what we are into, which is our intern's mini horses?
Please.
Yes.
Can we announce that?
They have mini horses?
So our intern, Monica, we have two great interns. I just want to shout them both out, Danielle
and Monica. Hey, Danielle.
Yeah. But Monica has miniature horses, and she's going to bring them to the offices soon. So.
Yeah. There's going to be a whole Runner's World video about horses.
So that's just one thing. Yeah.
This podcast episode isn't going to, like, ruin that secret, is it?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay, good. No.
If it does, we'll just be like, everybody tune in for the mini horses.
Yeah. Build suspense.
Yes.
The best, most recent book I read was I recently finished, and by recently, I mean like over the summer, finished Why Not Me by Mindy Kaling. I'm obsessed with Mindy Kaling. I think she's so cool. And she runs, so that's awesome.
Does she run?
Yeah, she does. Funny story. She wanted to break a 9-minute mile or run a 9-minute mile. That was like her goal. I think it was last year. And we designed this kind of training plan for her called the Mindy K plan and tweeted it at her. And she tweeted back at us. So she tweeted back at Runner's World, but basically that was me.
basically, you're famous. Yeah.
I freaked out. It was the greatest thing ever.
So I'm kind of obsessed with her. And when I started this podcast, I was watching The Mindy Project. Have you watched it?
Yes. I love it.
So, like, it's funny because and I think it's, like, my first 4 episodes, I, like, explain what this show's all about. And I mentioned The Mindy Project in the intro. And I have tweeted at her, and I've emailed her PR person. I'm like, can you please come on my show? So I'm just going to keep doing it until she comes
on. Yeah, do it.
And I'll be like, I'm friends with the girls at Runner's World, and they wrote you a plan to break a 9-minute mile. So we're basically connected through that.
And when you get her on, tell her to go to me and become an I'm a Runner, because I've been trying for, Let's get this.
Well, I'll just ask her the questions you guys need in case that doesn't work out so that we can, like, double
That's
up
perfect.
There.
Yes!
If it doesn't pan out, we can just kill 2 birds with 1 stone.
Yeah, awesome. Amy Schumer, I love them both.
Yes.
And Amy Schumer also runs, so.
So I'm working on her book. I'm working on getting through her book. And Amy, it's not as good as Mindy's.
Oh! Yeah, Mindy's is so good, but Mindy, like, has a writing background, so. Mm. I feel like that makes sense.
But you guys are writers. Like, how many of these famous people that are writing books, like, come on, how much of their book are they writing? How many ghostwriters do they have, truly? You know, it's
it's
true.
I mean, you can hear their voice in some of them more than others, but I'm like, you, like, sat there and talked out loud and somebody wrote.
Yeah. Frantically wrote and then reworded.
Were you truly sitting behind? And I mean, I'm sure some people are, but... Amy's is just kind of a little bit I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, you don't, some of it you don't even know, like, what's true and what's not, because she's just using her, she's, like, doing her stand-up in her book, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A little bit. I just got it through a section. I just got through the section where she talks about how she was, like, really into shoplifting as a teenager. And I'm like, I don't know if you really were or not. I mean, it's a funny section, but.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. Allie, do you have a most recent book?
Yeah, so I love novels. I recently read Eileen. I had to look up the author's name, but I can't really pronounce it. I think it's Otressa Mosfeg. But anyway, this is, like, Eileen is, like, a really great book. If you just want to really dive into a really disturbed character's head for a little while, she's, like, a strange woman. Her father's an alcoholic. She's an alcoholic, but she's working at a prison, and the book is all about how she, like, escapes from this small town and from her father's kind of terrible grasp when she was younger, and it's told from the point of view of an older self, but she's still kind of really effed up. So I highly recommend it.
It
won some awards, and yeah, and if anybody has good book recommendations for me, I'm always looking, so please tweet at me.
I'm going to tweet you a list.
Oh, can you please? Thank you.
Yes, because I always ask that question. So, like, everybody always recommends books. So, like, on I keep all of them. So, I'll tweet you a list.
What have you read lately?
Well, I'm reading Amy's book.
Okay.
What did I just finish? Oh, my gosh. I can't even. Lots of Candles and Plenty of Cake. Have you heard of that?
No.
Is it good? Yeah, it's good. I can't remember what's. Yes, it's
another Amy Dorson. Yeah.
But my sister, who is a much bigger reader than me, said that the author's really famous.
Oh, okay.
No, that's gonna bother me. Lots of Candles, Plenty of Cake. We'll look it up.
All right.
And before that, I just finished Glennon Milton Doyle's book, Love Warrior. I don't know if you know.
I haven't read that yet.
Do you know who I'm talking about, though?
Yeah.
She's pretty well known. And that was good. That was good. The only weird thing about that book is I finished it and then, like, I felt like I knew what was going on with her life and then all these other things were actually going on. So I was like, I felt like the book was like, oh, but I mean, she probably wrote the book 2 years ago. You know, it just takes so long for books to
That's
know.
Always, yeah, that's exactly
So a lot
right.
changes in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to read more than I do because when I'm holding, like, feeding my baby, like, instead of looking at Instagram, like, I should read a book. Like, I have a Kindle, you know?
That sounds really impossible. Like,
yeah. Like, what?
I can't even read a book when my cat's on my face. Like, I don't know how
but
you
I could
would
scroll
do
through Instagram so I could read a book.
I guess that's true.
Real quick, we'll wrap up. I know you guys got to get on with your day. My kids are going to bust in. Do you guys... The Runner's World podcast, like, what do they talk about on the Runner's World podcast? Tell me about that a little bit.
Yeah, so we have two podcasts. We have the Runner's World show and then Human Race. The Runner's World show has, like, it's really great because it has a little bit of everything in it. There's training, there's nutrition, there's, like, really great motivational stories. Yeah. What else is there?
Some news sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, news. So it's got a little bit of everything. And then... Human Race is kind of like, if you like This American Life, it's like This American Life, but for running.
Ooh.
Like, really great, like, long form stories. Like, really, one of them, like, almost brought me to tears.
Yeah, they're
okay,
really
down with that.
Yeah, definitely. And
who hosts that?
It's hosted by a few different people. David Willey, our editor in chief. He hosts some.
Yeah.
Rachel Swaby.
Yeah.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Definitely.
I love it. Well, you guys, I'm going to put this out this Friday.
Awesome! Yay!
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Everybody, thank you so much for listening today. Thank you, Allie and Hannah, for coming on the show. That was so much fun. Guys, I want to thank everybody who's left me a rating and review on iTunes. And if you haven't done so already and you're a regular listener of the show, I would very much appreciate that support. I want to thank Gina Davini. She says, actually, I definitely don't know Lindsay, but I kind of feel like I do. Running and motherhood can be both of somewhat isolating, whether you're logging miles at dawn or in the thick of baby toddler years. That's why it's been such a pleasure to find Lindsay's podcast. Every episode is relatable, engaging, and fun to listen to, regardless of the guest or topic. I've never listened to podcasts before, but now I'm hooked, and this is by far my favorite. Thank you so much, Gina. I really appreciate that. And you guys can follow me on Instagram, LindsayHines626. If you do share the show on Instagram, make sure you tag me, and you can find me on Twitter, @LindsayHines. The best way for me to market this show is through word of mouth and through you guys sharing it with your friends who you think might enjoy it. And just like Gina said, she'd never even listened to podcasts before. So even if it's someone you don't think listens to podcasts, let them know if you think they would enjoy it. And I want to say thank you one more time to Generation UCAN for sponsoring this episode of I'll Have Another Podcast. You guys can get a 15% discount if you go to generationucan.com/another. Use promo code another, all caps. I hope you guys have a really wonderful weekend with your family and friends. Merry Christmas, and as always, I will see you next Friday.